This is Kennedy Malloy's Rostered Week Off. Listen up, Australia. They're not here.
They're not here.
They're off enjoying a beer and a very long lunch.
So we've got some best bits for you.
This is Kennedy Malloy's Rostered Week Off.
Good afternoon, Australia. It's your old pal Dangerous Dave here, keeping the chamber pot company for the week. Kennedy Malloy's Rostered Week Off. The guys are back on Monday, Jane and Mick. We have cherry-picked the best bits for the week for you. So some real good stuff coming. Remember when Jane chatted with Dave Grohl and Taylor Hawkins of the Foo Fighters, and she had a list of questions, and, you know, it was going really well, the interview. Then Dave Grohl stops and says, look, you can ask me those questions, or I could tell you the greatest story ever told, which he did, which you're going to hear a little later with the Foo Fighters. It's amazing. That's coming up soon. Mick Coyne, going to take you back to the early days. This was during the Bitcoin rise and fall. Mick thought he could come up with his own cryptocurrency. So back some weeks ago, Mick was still brainstorming the idea of what has become Mickcoin.
Mickcoin?
Yeah.
You can only use it to buy certain things, like burger rings.
Yes.
Burger rings you can get. Strippers so, accept it. Strippers
really?
Will accept that.
Of course.
And it's the size of a Frisbee.
Yeah, good luck with that.
So look, the size did change a little bit. On one side of the coin is Mick's face, sort of that sort of Roman senator look about him. And on the other side of the Mick coin is dick and balls. So if you want to earn yourself a Mick coin, might be a good chance this week to get your ideas to Mick through Facebook at Kennedy Malloy. What you're willing to trade for a Mick coin. We'll relive that in just a moment. But up next, we took your calls on what your heavy metal band name would be right after this.
This is Kennedy Malloy's Rostered Week Off.
Hey, you got Dangerous Dave here. You can keep your tweets coming through, though. And I've got one from Sean Phelan at Kennedy Malloy. He says, hey, Jane, what would be more disappointing, a night with Mick or the game's closing ceremony? That's harsh, but arguably fair there, Sean. I did notice Mick has Instagram, Mick Malloy 66, by the way. You can follow him on Instagram. You know Jane's bomber jacket that she cherishes here. She was given here when she started on Kennedy Malloy. It's an old school sort of, I'd say late 80s, early 90s bomber jacket. Anyway, Mick snuck it out of the office on the weekend and he's Instagrammed this photo. Oh, look, my new Triple M bomber jacket is really turning heads down at the golf club. Can't thank Jane Kennedy enough for a wonderful trade. Jane overseas on holiday has seen this photo and has replied, don't stretch it and don't dribble any beer on the suede sleeves. You're in so much trouble. Anyway, it'd be nice to see where that jacket ends up next. Mick Malloy 66. You can follow him on Instagram. So the guy's talking about if you could name a heavy metal band, what would your name be? What would your name be?
We're talking about names for metal bands because I wanted to star in one called Carnage. I said that's what I would call my band. Apparently it's already taken. I will sue them.
Right. You also need to be able to be musical sing.
What did I have? I had my Lunatic Fringe. That's a good one.
And I had Colonic.
Mickey Riot. Iron Deficiency. I think Iron Deficiency. Mickey Riot's good.
Mickey Riot is good. I do agree with you. But we've been in
Dixie Chicks.
Doesn't sound the same. I saw Dixie Chicks.
I did too. I love the Dixie Chicks.
Did you really?
It's another conversation. Josh. Josh, if you were in a metal band and out the front, what do you call your band?
We call it Whiskey Death and the Nicotine Stones.
Oh, that's
not bad.
I'm up for that, Josh.
The nicotine patch, the nicotine stain. I like it.
And we would only do covers of Johnny Farnham songs, but heavy metal.
We've got a version of that. Can you find? We've got a band that does John Farnham heavy metal, and we'll get that.
It's
unbloody believable. I think from the same part of the world. Maybe,
I think it is too.
Norway.
Thanks, Josh.
Glenn, what's the name of the band, mate?
It's just scrap metal.
Yeah, that's a nice one, Glenn.
I like that, and I'd film all my clips in a scrap metal yard
with
Rottweilers on chains. I would.
Were you still dressed in your leather?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no top.
Oh, yeah.
Standing. And you know I do? And it'd be in a storm and lightning would be attracted to the metal and it would just start. And I would
would
stand.
Would you have long
there
hair?
Yes, of course I would.
Right.
Sean, what's the name of the band, mate?
The Bleeding Scabs.
The Bleeding Scabs.
That's very apt, actually.
I'd go and see Bleeding Scabs. Where are you going tonight? Go to see Bleeding Scabs. Wow.
Yeah.
Good name.
Yeah.
Bleeding Scabs, I like it. All right, Nick, who's the band?
Mate, it's one that's actually already around, so a bit of licensing problems, but it could be done better.
Who?
A band called Jane's Addiction.
Oh, I love Jane's Addiction.
Dave Navarro.
Yep.
Yeah.
I reckon we could have it with Jane Kennedy on the front cover of the of an album.
Yeah.
With maybe an IV of Chardonnay.
And that's not too far-fetched, that whole scenario. No, Steve, band name, please.
G'day, guys. I'm actually going to throw one your way, Mick. Yeah. Thought you might like to go with something a little bit more subtle.
Mm.
Possibly Mickey Juice.
Is that cryptic? No. I don't understand. Is that rude?
Mickey Juice. Well, it depends
how you look at it. Maybe you could get on stage, you know, put a plastic drop sheet down. After sweating a bit, there's your juice.
Oh, yuck. That's revolting.
Steve, you know what worries me? You've thought about
spray
this
the
way
audience
too long.
With Mickey Juice.
Oh, yuck.
Hey, thanks, Steve. That's ridiculous.
I like it. Well, that'll get the ball rolling.
Yeah, like, we've got one more call. Yeah. Got time? Mm. Okay, Scotty.
I just thought I'd throw one for Mick, Agent of Steel.
Agent of Steel.
Okay.
I like it.
Agent of Steel. Yeah,
we've played with some other doozies, but like bands like Traces of Nut.
I like it.
What was the other one? Scrotal Vice, or actually
Scrotal Vice.
Actually, Scrotum's just Scrotum on its own would work.
It's not a
please
very nice
Scrotum.
No, I don't like that name. Scrotum.
Yeah, that's the whole point, Jane.
Oh, sorry.
Don't
wow.
You get what
oh,
we're doing
am I not
here?
With the program?
Oh my god.
I've got a bit of scrotum right now. Not
what?
Bad.
Scrotum.
anyone shooting in right now? We apologise. We can explain everything.
Well, they put their feet up. We're playing their best bits. This is Kennedy Malloy's Rostered Week Off.
You got Dangerous Dave here. I was thinking about Radio Tinder. Not that I was thinking of going on Tinder date, but I'm thinking here's a good chance while they're taking a holiday this week to register your details. If you're looking for love, and we've had a pretty good hit rate so far with Radio Tinder, your chance to register online. So the best way to go about it, because we had a flight attendant, Caitlin, and an insurance broker, Andrew, over the air, hooked them up, Radio Tinder. They got a nice weekend away in a city hotel, you know, full on laid on. If you'd like this happen to you, go to our Facebook page and get your details to us this week and we'll sort it out. Radio Tinder with Kennedy Malloy. Facebook at Kennedy Malloy, or you can keep in touch anyway, kennedymalloy.com.au. All right, Mick Coyne was just an idea in Mick's head. He wasn't really sure what a cryptocurrency was or what he wanted to do with it.
You've got some stuff there. Hey, been working on something for the last 48 hours.
You,
it's weird.
I'm launching my own cryptocurrency. It's called Mitcoin.
Listen.
It's going to be massive.
Really?
Seriously, I've got everyone out in the office.
Can you help me? Because I don't know.
Yeah.
What's cryptocurrency?
Yeah.
What is it?
I'd say it's an electronic transaction, like a swipe card. Whoosh, go.
Like a swipe card, is it?
Mine is. If you don't want to be negative about it.
I'm not being negative. I'm just trying to get to the bottom of it.
No, it's a cryptocurrency. It only exists in the internet.
What's that?
And it exists on the internet.
All right.
But I'm all over it.
But what actually is it?
Yeah.
It's a currency that I, my Mitcoin, you can only use it to buy certain things, like burger rings.
Yes.
Burger rings you can get. Strippers accept it. Strippers will accept that.
Of course.
Two up. It's good for two up.
But it's not a coin.
What do you mean?
It's not a coin. It's not an actual.
Of course it's a coin.
No, it's not.
Exist. I've seen it.
Doesn't exist.
I've pressed it. It's got my face on one side and a dick and balls on the other. And that's it. And it's the size of a Frisbee.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Mate, whose coin is it?
All right, well, I'm in on the ground up.
It's mine.
I'm in. Give me some shares.
I would have thought so.
Why not?
Just go speak to George Soros.
I'm in.
Get in the queue behind George Soros.
No, you're not allowed to do it without me, my permission.
Mate, the Mitcoin has already upset international markets. The US dollar is whooping its stride. The yen
so nervous.
Yeah, has entered a police witness protection scheme.
Really?
Yeah. And the pound is weaving baskets in the country. That was from the...
Right.
What do you mean, what is
you
it?
You need to do a little
what
bit more homework on this
you're
before any
little,
investors.
It's my cryptocurrency.
You're a bit vague about exactly what
vague.
It is.
It's like kryptonite. It's like a...
Oh, my God.
I don't really know what it is.
Do you know what? I'll help you out. I better do a bit of research.
If you don't
for
want
you.
Part to be part of this, that's fine.
No, strangely enough...
It's great for coin up the Khyber.
It might take off.
It's a party game.
Size of a Frisbee, your face and a digging balls.
And if you peel it, it's chocolate.
Hey, well, it didn't quite work out that way in the end, but it is sought after, the Mitcoin. And if you would like one, and I mentioned this earlier... never been a better time than right now to maybe clean out of the cupboard or something that you think Mick might find that it's valuable for a swap. Go to our Facebook page and let us know, Kennedy Malloy. Now, a few days later, despite still not quite understanding what cryptocurrency was, Mick had an ad for Mickcoin. Hear that next.
This is Kennedy Malloy's Rostered Week Off.
Yeah, hey, it's Dangerous Dave here. They're back on Monday. Now, I've just seen some breaking news come through. You might have already experienced this if you're a shopper of Woolworths, but apparently there's been a nationwide technical outage across their stores. All registers have been shut down and customers were told to leave and come back in an hour. Still no comment from Woolworths what caused the outage of their registers, but I'm sure if Mick was here, he would say, you know what, it's got something to do with Mickcoin. He reckons the currency and the Treasury are scared of Mickcoin, the hottest cryptocurrency.
The Dow Jones has suffered its worst daily percentage fall since 2011, and the single biggest point drop in its 132-year history. Everybody is going cocoa bananas at the moment.
The bloodbath, they call it.
Sell, sell. And Bitcoin's gone.
What's it back to? It's gone down from...
I think it's about eight grand.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, no, it's seriously gone.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Nutty.
It was 12,000 last week.
Yeah.
Well, you're looking a bit smug.
Well, you know what it's all about. Oh, so don't pretend you don't. Actually, ever since the rumours of the Mickcoin coming down the pike, every single market around the world has whooped its strides.
Oh, sorry, you're saying this is connected to Mickcoin,
this
crash?
I'm saying everyone's getting out of the way.
Oh.
I'm saying the head of the World Bank is ringing me going, when's it happening? We need to fix this.
Really?
Hey, it's like a big barge coming through, a big economic barge.
It's like the big Kerry Packer's big boat.
It's bigger than that, Jane. It's Mickcoin. It's a game changer.
Yeah?
It's out there and it's coming.
You sound serious about this.
Well, I'm serious enough to investigate doing it, and people in the office have had meetings, and it's we've got an ad already.
What?
Really?
Oh, yeah. Well, haven't you heard
Can
my,
I have a listen?
New promote? Yes, please.
Okay.
Global financial markets are in crisis.
Plunging at latest count more than 1,100 points.
Largest daily drop in the stock market history.
But one currency stands firm.
The Dow heard about Mickcoin and is whooping its strides. Ooh, I don't like it anymore. Ooh, I'm the Dow. Ooh, shooky lala.
Mickcoin is your sound financial haven in these uncertain times.
When it heard about Mickcoin, the Deutsche Mark entered a police witness protection scheme.
Mickcoin is backed by one of the world's great financial minds.
Warren Buffett took one look at Mickcoin and cracked a stiffy, and he's 87.
Mickcoin is recommended by every reputable investor on a global scale.
Stop pate the barefoot investor here. Hock the farm, hock the house, put everything you own into Mickcoin. Everyone's talking about it.
Mickcoin. A safe, reliable, prudent investment.
Get on Mickcoin. What could go wrong? Seriously, what could go wrong?
I'm getting a bit emotional.
Did I just hear you say Warren Buffett cracked a stiffy?
Yep. And that's an economic indicator. That's one of the most reliable economic indicators in the world.
This is contractually enforced. This is Kennedy Malloy's Rostered Week Off.
You got Dangerous Dave, just me in the chamber pot this afternoon. That's it, kids. Hey, got a tweet through from Cold Dogs. We're just talking about how the Woolies registers have gone down, the technical issues. He said, look, just made a purchase at Woolworths, so issues fixed. Hashtag spoken like a shareholder. Nice one, Cold Dogs. Mick Malloy, Jane Kennedy will return next week with Kennedy Malloy. Jane launched a new segment earlier this year, and it provided some of our most memorable callers yet.
This is a segment I like to call Men Are Idiots. And I'm afraid we have a full board.
Right.
Yeah.
No shortage.
No.
We'd like to hear what idiotic things males you know have done. And we might kick off with Jill. Jill?
Hi, how are you?
How are you going, Jill? Who's your idiotic male?
My idiotic male is my brother-in-law.
What did he do?
Well, he was home alone and he thought he'd get off his backside and clean the bottom of the pool. So he put a wetsuit on and he picked up some fairly heavy weighted stones from the garden. He put them inside his wetsuit to jump in the pool to weight him down to get him to the bottom of the pool.
Right. Has he got an exit strategy?
What happened?
No, he doesn't have an exit strategy. Any normal person would have undone the wetsuit, got rid of the stone. He walked to the along the bottom of the pool.
To the shallow end.
Get his head above water. And my sister said to me, we would never have known. The pool would have turned green and
left been
children at the bottom of the pool.
Whatever happened to Phil?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, Jill.
Oh, wow, Jill.
Great call.
Good on you, Jill. Thanks for sharing that.
You're a lucky woman.
And as I always
say. He's a keeper.
As I say, Jill, and everyone else.
Men are idiots.
Oh, yes. Right, you made your point.
We've got a few more. Chris, tell me your idiotic story about a male you know.
Yeah, my brother, it was about 25 years ago when he was in year 11, I think. He got dared with his mates to eat a spoonful of dog food. The reward was $2.35, because that's all they could afford back then.
Yeah.
So he ate it, and because Mad Max did it, that was the clincher.
Oh, right,
and,
yes.
Mad Max did it.
Great inspiration.
Yeah. He had to do it. You don't understand,
so one spoonful, he ended up getting sick. He got scarlet fever. He had to take a month off like school, and he was bedridden for like a month.
Oh, that's rubbish. He wasn't sick. He just wanted to get out of school.
Chris.
He was almost dead.
Sorry.
Well, no, that was pretty bad. It was pretty funny.
I was going to say he's still with us, isn't almost, he?
Yeah, you know. He's still alive. But
what's the problem?
It's not something you really do.
Okay, yeah, dog food. You know why he did it?
For $2.35.
Mad Max did it.
Yeah.
So that's,
yeah, no,
Mad Max did it, Your Honour.
Yeah.
How many
idiots.
Times you heard that? Well done. Lynn's on the line. Lynn, what have you got for us?
Mick and Jane, my son, he stapled his foreskin to a bar.
Did Mad Max do that?
I never believe I saw Mad Max do that. It was a dare.
Right, and you found out because you had to go and pick him up?
No, because one of his mates actually felt the need to show me the video.
Oh,
Lynn.
And they actually used a staple gun and they had to get the staple out with pliers. Dumb as you know what.
I rest my case.
You know what's funny about that? But not only as this
don't
guy,
tell me you did it, Mick.
No, let's not rule it out. This guy stapled his foot into the bar, but all his other mates have sat around and videoed and laughed. Yeah.
This is ridiculous. Lynn, I think that deserves a prize too, Dave.
$100 fuel voucher for you, Lynn.
That's
there you go.
Well, nuts.
Thank you.
It pays to have a stupid son.
I would say a well-earned break, but it is Mick and Jane that we're talking about here. This is Kennedy Malloy's Rostered Week Off. Listen up, Australia. While Mick and Jane have a well-earned break, we're heading back to the archives. This is Kennedy Malloy's Rostered Week Off.
It sure is. Hey, you got Dangerous Dave here this afternoon. We've had some great acoustic performances just in a short amount of time on Kennedy Malloy. I mean, just last week we had Ray from Thirsty Merc play at Mark Seymour, Jet, Vance Joy, Veruca Salt, Weezer, James Rain, Richard Clapton. Oh, man, if you want to see any of those acoustic performances, hit up kennedymalloy.com.au. We will revisit. I think we're going to do Weezer tomorrow because that was so much fun having in here. They did Islands in the Sun, which was fantastic. So we've cherry-picked the best bits of Kennedy Malloy for the year, and that's what you've got as Mick and Jane take a well-earned break. We are going to revisit that Foo Fighters chat. See, Jane went to a hotel room just with Dave and Taylor of the Foo Fighters, and she had a bunch of questions. The interview was going really well. But Dave said, you got your questions there, but do you want me to tell you the best story ever? We're going to relive that, give you the best story ever. We might get on some Foo Fighters as well. That's a little later. We're also talking about first pashes. Do you remember your first pash? Well, Mick does. And Jane had a surprise for Mick.
You've blabbed about who your first pash was. Can we just have a listen? Go back and take a listen what you said just recently.
Genevieve Hoyle behind Safeway.
Oh, God, that poor woman.
Behind the Safeway in the Safeway Cup. Well, you know, things like that stay with you. It's the little details.
Interestingly enough, Mick.
Oh, good Lord.
We've got Genevieve Hoyle on the line.
What is wrong with you people?
Oh, my God. Genevieve, are you there?
I am.
Oh,
I'm here.
Would you like
Mick
to say
Malloy.
Hello to Mickey?
Hi, Genevieve. How are you?
I'm not sure.
private memories, Mick, and you're telling the world.
Exactly.
Oh, gosh.
I'm sorry. How did you find out? Were you listening? Or?
My daughter happened to ring me. It was Mum. Mick Malloy is talking about you on the radio.
Oh, that is
ridiculous.
Yeah, Genevieve, I have to ask, is that your recollection of events?
Well...
Hey, look, first of all, how old were you?
It wasn't that memorable. I have vague recollections.
Oh, come on, Genevieve.
You've carried it with you forever.
I think you're just missing something, though, Mick. Mm. Now, that was, I think it might have been year nine, and I think, though, Mount Eliza Primary School, grade six.
Yes.
There was a little kiss going on.
That's what I'm talking about.
Are you saying there's a follow-up?
I think we were going to the Mount Eliza Fair.
That's right. Hello.
Well, yeah, that's
sounds, a date. That's a date.
That is a date.
It was a date.
Hey, Genevieve, have you often lied in bed? Dreaming of Mick.
Oh, stop it, Jane. Don't
He's really
that.
Getting embarrassed. I'm loving this.
No, I have to tell people that he was tall and handsome.
Thank you.
Was.
That is the best backhanded compliment I've ever had, gentlemen.
While Mick and Jane binge some Netflix on the couch, this is Kennedy Malloy's Frosted Week Off.
We've got Dangerous Dave here, but we've cherry-picked the best bits possible from the show so far this year, and there's been so much goodness from Mick Coyne, which, by the way, you can have. You can have, I think there's 80 left. Giving away 20 Mick Coyne, 80 left, and then that's it. So you can be one of the lucky owners of a Mick Coyne. If you go to kennedymalloy.com.au, we're looking for the weird and wonderful that you're prepared to trade for a Mick Coyne. If Mick piques his interest and he wants to trade, you get yourself a limited edition Mick Coyne. So maybe this week while they're away, have a look around what you prepare to trade. Go to kennedymalloy.com.au. All right, Lawrence Mooney, one of our favourites. He joins us every week here on Kennedy Malloy. The hashtag MeToo movement was all over the news, and Moonman thought, well, he needed to make a statement. Check this out.
Welcome our next guest, Lawrence Mooney.
Hello, Lawrence.
Hello, Lawrence.
Thanks, Jane. Thanks, Mick.
I've noticed a bit of a mood shift in you today. You've got something to share with us, which is obviously very serious.
Yes, I have, and I wanted to break it first on this show. Where I know that I'm in a safe space, Kennedy Malloy. We know that the hashtag MeToo movement is massive around the world, along with, you know, Time's Up, and I completely agree with what it's yielding. And most recently in Australia, yes. Craig McLaughlin was revealed by the Me Too movement. He is actually suing the ABC and Fairfax, so you can't say much about that, his case. But there was something about his case that paralleled my life.
And well, a trigger.
Yeah, there was a trigger. And that is one of the complainants that came out after the main report said that Craig had on set got a banana and pretended it was a penis and whacked someone in the face with it. And I thought, well, it's time that I outed myself. I, in a production meeting on the Denise Show back in 1999, I went into the fruit bowl, I picked up a banana and two plums and pretended it was some genitals. And I said, does anyone want some fruit salad? So, but it doesn't stop there.
Oh, jeez. Are you sure it doesn't stop there?
I was in
could it stop me?
I was in a postcards editing suite. It was a lolly bowl this time. Two Tic Tacs and a jelly bean.
You can.
Oh, no.
You're pretty good at this.
Cooking segment on the Circle.
Circle.
Yeah.
It's surrounded by women.
Next to Chrissy Swan, sweet potato and two onions. I said, let's throw a bit of spice into this, Chrissy. I think she burst into tears. On an opposition radio station, I once grabbed a bunch of red grapes and pretended they were hemorrhoids. Said, has anyone got cream for these babies?
I think there's going to be an ABC crew about to do a story.
Even my mates aren't safe.
I didn't know you.
No, what? It doesn't go on, does it?
I was at a barbecue recently. I pulled an arse of he out of the.
What?
Sorry, I'm emotional.
You're emotional. You're unhinged.
I pulled an Asahi out of the.
A bottle of beer.
And a handful of ice. I said, who wants to suck on a cold one?
Well, you've gone too far there.
And last night, I bottomed out at home with a loofah and two bath bombs. So I just. There you go.
Are you seeking counselling?
I am. I'm
this?
Seeking counselling. I apologise to all concerned.
I know you. You're a good man. And to hear that, it's confronting.
And there was a pump bottle outside. And sprayed one of your producers. Should be laughing. Right. It's serious stuff.
Well, they put their feet up. We're playing their best bits. This is Kennedy Malloy's Rostered Week Off.
Look, it's been a great few months with Mick and Jane. And we know Jane's got a thing for drummers. I mean, she used to be in a band herself, Highly Strung. But we know she's got a thing for drummers. And I think it was sort of something that was flagged earlier in the year when the Foo Fighters toured Australia. It was the Concrete and Gold World Tour. And Jane went to a hotel room without Mick to interview Dave Grohl and Taylor Hawkins of the Foo Fighters.
I was in a hotel room with Dave Grohl and Taylor Hawkins.
What were you doing?
I was chatting to them.
And eating sandwiches?
They were eating sandwiches because they had a big night, they told me. So for your listening pleasure, may I give you Dave Grohl.
First up, I have to go like this.
You don't have to go
that. I do. The only other person...
For the radio listeners, she's bowing to the band.
I am bowing.
I thought you were fanning yourself.
I'm bowing. The only other person I bowed to was Alice Cooper.
Ooh, that's
and
a good
so that
one.
Makes sense, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so I am a huge fan.
Thank you.
Very bowable.
My kids, though, when they found out I was talking to you guys, were like, last night at dinner I told them and I said, oh, I'm interviewing, you know, Dave and Taylor. And they went, oh, my God, Mum. Please don't be creepy. I said, what are you talking about? They just think I'm going to be a bit of a creepy fan. So please stop me if it gets to that point.
I don't think she's very creepy, do you, Taylor?
I'm generally not a creepy kind of girl.
But you don't seem creepy.
All right.
We know creepy.
Yeah? You know creepy.
No.
All right. Well,
is this one? Well, forget about it.
All right. On behalf of the Triple M Network in Australia, I would like to thank you guys because... Without Foo Fighters, there is no Triple M Network, you do realise.
How's that?
Basically, you are our playlist.
Oh, God.
And I say that in the nicest possible way because, seriously, we roll you guys out about 30 times a day. And that's...
Jeez Louise.
Yeah, it's
true. People still like us?
I know.
We love you guys. We love you guys. And, I reckon if
we're like the house guest that'll never leave.
No, that's a good sign. It's like, you know, in Gilligan's Island when... The professor would say, let's just see if anything's on the news. He'd turn the radio on, it'd be, and in that news flash, just repeating the news, and it would come on right then. If we turned the radio on, there'd be a Foo song playing right now. But
just like Gilligan's Island town.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you ever been likened to Gilligan's Island?
I know who Gilligan is.
I do too. I want to be Ginger. Can I be Ginger?
Oh, I'm always Marianne. Actually, you do a good Marianne, Dave.
Thanks.
That's what we should be for next Halloween, Marianne and Ginger.
That's great, dude. We could be play a Halloween
a
gig
idea.
And be the whole cast of Gilligan's Island.
We need to make
amazing.
The video now as I see it already.
It's happening.
Yeah.
See?
Gilligan.
Ding.
Shiflet.
Okay, next question.
Okay, next question. You guys, you're a band that loves other bands. That's what I pick up. And you really just embrace and love playing with other bands.
Well, you know, it's funny. When you get two musicians together, it usually doesn't matter what type of music either one of them play. Mm-hmm. They usually just get on pretty well, you know?
Yeah.
A really long time ago, I got the chance to meet this guitar player named Dimebag Darrell that played in the band Pantera. He's not with us anymore. But when I met him, he was known as the most ripping metal dude on earth. He was just the embodiment of like heavy metal. But he was the nicest guy in the world. And he would party, I swear to God, with anybody. He was always all about the whiskey. I mean, he's kind of...
Dude, when the Alanis Morissette... I played with the Alanis Morissette when I was a young wee boy.
Wow.
When our buses pulled up next to each other outside a hotel and like... Toledo or something like that. We're in Alanis' band. I mean, we're not. That's not necessarily super tough. And Pantera were like the gnarliest, scariest, toughest dudes on the planet as far as rock music was concerned.
Yep.
But
no question.
Were you intimidated?
Totally. I was scared to death. Right. And our buses were just back and forth the entire night, and it was amazing. And I had my Dimebag for the first time and really got along with him. And
yeah,
he could get along with anybody.
Yeah,
with anyone.
Okay, so you have two options right now. You can either ask us the questions that you want to ask us, or I can tell you the funniest story you've ever heard
well,
in your life.
What do you reckon?
About.
I'm going to chuck this, these questions out.
Okay.
Go for it.
And I did chuck the questions out, and they did tell the funniest story ever, and it's coming up next.
Right after this.
This is Kennedy Malloy's Rostered Week Off.
Concrete and Gold World Tour earlier this year. To promote it, Dave Grohl and Taylor Hawkins of the Foo Fighters hooked up with Kennedy Malloy's own Jane Kennedy, fan of the band, of course. And just before we played Times Like These, we were promised something very special.
This is you talking to Dave Grohl and...
Taylor Hawkins.
In a hotel room.
Yep.
Eating sandwiches.
Yeah.
And you've just been promised. On. What?
Just been promised. What do you mean?
Something exceptional in the last... Weren't you listening?
No.
The greatest story ever told.
Greatest story ever told.
Oh, that. I thought you were thinking
you were down another track altogether, weren't you? What is wrong with you?
I was. No, because there was a bit of...
Well, sexual tension.
Oh. Sure.
Was there flirting?
Sure.
Would you call it flirting?
There was a little.
Did that sound flirty to you, Dave?
Do you know what, though? I held back. I held back from my flirtiness.
Did you?
Mm. Yes, because I really thought about it. Do you know why?
What?
Look, I have decided that it's never to be. It's always like that comedy, the sitcom, where there's always that sexual tension, but nothing ever happens. And when something happens, the whole series goes
down the tube.
Goes down the tube. So it's better that Dave and I never consummate our relationship ever, so that we can remain friends for life. Otherwise, it could be awkward.
I see yours more as one of those awkward two-parters that has a to be continued. They were always shit-outs.
They really were.
That's it. Here's the second part.
Here it is.
Okay, so you have two options right now. You can either ask us the questions that you want to ask us, or I can tell you the funniest story you've ever heard
well,
in your life.
What do you reckon?
About.
I'm going to chuck these questions out.
Okay.
Go for it.
So ages ago, in 1998, there was an Ozfest in England at Milton Keynes Bowl. Korn were supposed to play on it, and Korn canceled, right? But it was like Ozzy and Slayer and Anthrax and Pantera and like all these crazy heavy bands. So Korn back out. They can't do the gig. So we get the call. Hey, will you guys fill in for Korn? We're like, oh my God, you're crazy. Like, we're not a metal band. We'll get killed. Like, there's no way. So we decided to do it. Yeah. So we get down there. We're totally terrified. We get to the gig. Pantera's playing, and they are the most shredding metal band you've ever seen. There's 60,000 people going f-ing bananas, and we got to go on after them. Yeah, I'm just like, oh my God, this is nuts. So we go on, and I'm really nervous, and I look around the side of the stage, and as we're playing, I see all those guys from those bands watching us and singing the lyrics to our songs.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm like, this is amazing.
Cool.
So afterwards, we make friends with Pantera.
Cool.
Yeah, thanks, guys. So we make friends with Pantera, and, you know, they're just all about whiskey and boobs and whatever. They're just like, yeah. So they give us their card. They have their own strip club. It's called the Clubhouse. It's outside of Dallas, Texas.
Of course they have their own strip club.
Of course. I mean, it's just what you do. So we're like, he's like, man, and they're from Texas. So like, anytime y'all are in Texas, man, you got to come down to the Clubhouse. It's great. And we're like, all right. So we finish the tour. And then I was living in Los Angeles at the time. And I was moving back to Virginia where I'm from. So I put all of my stuff in my house on a truck, and Taylor and I jumped in my truck and did this Dumb and Dumber drive across America, right? So we were so excited. But we were
basically... What are we
doing here? Yeah, this is 1998. We were basically like, we were routing our trip around like where our friends live and where the strip clubs are.
I've got the mental picture.
It's all my grandma.
Yeah, it was a real family trip. So the first day, we're like, whoa, we're doing it, man. We're really doing it. We'd stop in like Barstow. It's like 5 hours outside of LA to get gas. We get gas and we make it to Phoenix that night. We go to check into the hotel, and I had left my wallet on top of this gas tank in Barstow. I'm like, oh no, and I don't have credit cards or ID or anything like that. So I call my accountant. I'm like, Ben, just send me a credit card. Like, I got nothing. So he FedExes one out. We keep driving. And I'm calling the Pantera guys. I'm like, all right, man, we're coming to the Clubhouse. We're going to be there like Tuesday night. And they're like, hell yeah, it's going to be great. So we make this 800-mile detour to get to the Clubhouse, to the strip club. We go out to dinner with Taylor's family. And they're like, all right, now we're going to go to the strip club. So we go out to the Clubhouse, and we get there. And I'm like, oh, this could be the best f-ing night of our lives. This is going to be amazing, man. So we get there, and we walk up. And the guy's like, could I see some ID, please? And I'm like, oh.
Oh, no, you don't have your wallet.
Yeah. I lost my wallet on this trip. He's like, I can't let you in unless you got ID. I'm like, but we're friends with Pantera. He's like, everybody's friends with Pantera. I was like, oh my God. And we didn't get in.
No way.
We didn't get in,
oh my
man.
God.
I was like, what the
Have you ever heard the song Smells Like Teen Spirit?
The guy's like, I'm
you
sorry, dude.
I just can't let you in.
I can't do it, man. I was like, went back to the hotel. I was gutted. I was So anyway, so we finished that trip. And a side note, about 4 years ago, I was at this
is 10 years later.
This is at least 10 years later. I was like at this surf shop in Oxnard, California, just north of Los Angeles. And it was me and I think my daughter, and I was buying something. And the girl at the counter, she says, are you Dave Grohl? I said, yeah. And she said, did you lose your wallet in Barstow in 1998?
No.
And I said, yeah. She goes, that was my parents' gas station. I'm like, you're kidding me. She goes, no, they still have your wallet. And I gave her my address, and she sent me the wallet with everything in it from 1998.
That deserves a round of applause. Seriously. That is awesome. Thank you, guys. Been a pleasure.
Thanks.
Cheers.
What a great chat.
Oh, there's a good story,
that
hey?
That story just wasn't rock and roll enough for me.
Strippers, whiskey, boobs and Pantera.
And a strip club owned by Pantera. We've got to go. Can we do an OB from there?
Yeah. Actually, that's a good idea.
Does it still exist? Let's go.
That's hilarious.
While Mick and Jane have a well-earned break, we've got some best bits for you. This is Kennedy Malloy's Rostered Week Off.
Hey, you got Dangerous Dave here. Between the Sheets is a segment where we talk all things that belong in the boudoir. And on this particular day, the talk was the male contraceptive pill.
Close the curtains. Fluff up the pillows. Lock the kids in their room. It's time to get sexy. Mick and Jane.
Wow. All right.
Now, all of a sudden, I have to be friendless with you again now, don't I?
Well, what's on your mind? You bring.
What's on my mind?
When we get into relationship details.
We do.
And
you know what?
Roles.
Well, I'm going to put on a mature hat now. I'm not going to be silly about this.
Sure. Is this groundbreaking news?
No giggles from you, Dave.
Right. I'll shut up.
Male contraceptive pill.
Okay.
They've been working on this for years, and people have been doubting.
Have they? Or are they just pretending? girls, we're down the lab. We're really giving it a red hot go, but so far nothing.
Well, they really think they might have come. But this is the headline, all right? This is why they might get guys actually interested in it, because it says male contraceptive pill could increase libido. Bang. Like that is necessary.
Right.
Like that's so... We never get anything like this put... Like when women have a contraceptive pill, it says may cause migraines, may cause weight gain, may cause you to get hairy.
It's the price we pay, gentlemen, for getting a root.
And you get... We'll take those chances.
You might get a bit ugly. You might break out in some acne.
We never get told
you... might get a bit porky. But as a man, we're prepared to take that risk.
Doesn't seem very fair to me. We're never said if you take this contraception, you might get really horny. We don't get that.
Hey, look at this one. Well, here's the other part of the sentence you didn't read out. The quest for male contraceptive pill is back in business thanks to new funding for a team of Aussie scientists. Well done, fellas.
Hard at work. Well, this is how
Aussie scientists thinking about. You've got Stephen Hawking on the one hand looking at the cosmos. Our blokes are down the back trying to work out.
How they work it. I've been really studying this all afternoon.
How does it work?
It is a drug that blocks the transport of sperm.
Oh, good Lord.
And the sperm is what makes people get up the duff.
Oh, well, thanks. It's not grade three here. Who do you think you're talking to?
I don't know.
I don't know what my little fellas are up to. I've got twins. I think I know how this works.
All right. Well, I was a bit confused.
Jeez.
Because...
What were you confused about? I heard this conversation, by the way, in our office. I can't believe what goes on sometimes between you and our producer.
I just didn't
trying to
know.
Work
I thought,
out how it all goes.
Yes.
Does this mean there's still a...
Yes. I didn't know when that comes out. Where does the sperm go?
This show is...
Explain
it, Dave. Explain it.
I don't know what you're trying to say.
I honestly, you know what? No, I want to be mature
what happens,
about this.
Dave. I'm not going to. There's no sperm, but obviously otherwise.
But I just didn't know something else still comes out. That's all I wanted to know. And it just doesn't have the.
Here we go.
It's not a puff of cloud or wind or anything. It's
stuck. It's okay. Mm-hmm. All right. That's all I just wanted to get clear. So what they're doing is.
So
what they're doing is they're stopping the part that makes people pregnant. They've worked out how to do it. Now, what
that would be the contraceptive part.
I know, but listen,
it?
They've been experimenting on mice, Louise. Which always kills me because apparently they've been looking at mice at mice's sex lives. How can you even how is that even possible? How do you know when they say it doesn't affect the mouse's libido? How can you tell if a mouse is horny or not horny?
Yeah, you can just tell. Having that post-coital cigarette or not.
Tiny
big
ones.
Ears. You're not looking at them anyway. You're looking at the one with the big ears attached to the back going, can you please test the new contraception on me? Not the big ear. Please not the big ear. Anything but the big ear. Do you know what? We don't need to get down the lab for this. I've done
really?
This. If man, if there's, if,
oh,
there,
yeah,
if
okay.
you want to make sure that you don't get a woman pregnant, there's many ways to do this.
As a male contraception?
Sure, yeah.
Like what?
The comb over.
Oh, yeah. That
the comb over would be one.
That's a big one. I've got one. What about socks with sandals?
Sure.
That's just a no-go
zone. Writing this down, guys.
Yep.
If you want to protect yourself. So what about the smell of souvlaki on your lips?
Oh.
That'll do it. Coming home late, smelling of souvlaki.
That just made me feel a bit sick then.
What do you mean?
What you described.
Bringing back some bad memories for you?
I think it did.
Wow.
Shocking.
You live on the edge.
Terrible things.
It sounds like a romantic night out.
You know
for
what
you?
Girls don't really like?
What?
Really vain men.
Yeah, well, thankfully.
Hang on.
Me.
Never been a problem for you, has it?
When you're an Adonis.
I feel like we're really tackling this. Whole male contraceptive subject well. But anyway, there's good news. Here's the thing.
What?
I don't think this is going to work because if you're about to go hammer and tongs with someone and you go, let's seal the deal.
I'm good to go.
Excuse me, have you had your, it's Tuesday, have you had your tablet? And a guy goes, yeah, I have. That's just not going to cut it for me.
How dare you? Is there just no trust in you anymore? I guarantee you, I would answer.
You walks and goes, where's my wallet? Where's my phone? Where's my phone? Where have I put it? We're trusting people like you to take a tablet every day. I rest my case.
Yes. What could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
I like it.
Mick and Jane binge some Netflix on the couch. This is Kennedy Malloy's Frosted Week Off.